This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Ja, ja, ja. Woo! Weber! Chris Brock in for Jesse Kelly, hour number three of the program. Jesse back tomorrow. I have the privilege of filling in once again. Okay, so this is pretty wild. I mean, look, we all know that the FBI covered it up, and the Biden Justice Department and Obama Justice Department, whatever, they all covered everything up with Hunter, the laptop, and everything. But listen, this is pretty wild. You have this coming out today. This is from Catherine Herridge, former, CBS? I think she was former Fox News. Great reporter. Michael Schellenberger, journalist from California, ran for governor at one point. Coming out with this story. The FBI in 2024 accidentally admitted to House investigators, or admitted, I should say, officially, to House investigators, the FBI employee inadvertently, an FBI employee inadvertently, confirmed the authenticity of Hunter's laptop to Twitter in a conference call on the morning of October 14th, 2020. He accidentally told Twitter on the record, "We know it's Hunter's laptop, we know it's official." And that's the exact day the New York Post published the story about it. So Twitter knew it was real. They knew it was a story. They knew it was bad for Biden and Hunter. And they still banned the story. Quote, "I recall that when the question came up, an intelligence analyst," said an FBI agent, "said something to the effect of, 'Yes, the laptop is real,' testified the then Russia unit chief of the FBI's Foreign Influence Task Force in a closed-door transcribed interview." Now, this is all because the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. So what happened is, for the first time with the new administration under Trump, the FBI has now turned over to the GOP House investigators the internal chat messages that show the FBI leadership actively silenced its employees and knew that laptop was real. One of these reporters was the famous Trump hater and leftist Elvis M. Chan, the San Francisco-based special agent FBI tasked with interacting with social media companies. Chan asked, quote, "Actually, what kind of case is the laptop thing? Corruption, campaign financing?" Another employee of the FBI says, "Close, hold." And then after which the response is redacted, to which Chan says, "Oh, crap," quote unquote. To underscore the serious nature of the probe, which included felony tax charges, Chan adds, "Okay, it ends here." Chan then asked in the same conversation, if anybody is discussing that New York Post article on the Bidens, Chan says, "Yes, we are. Confirmed an active investigation. No further comment." The IRS whistleblowers, remember them? I'm sure you've heard. I'm sure Jesse talked about it when it happened. Those two FBI whistleblowers. IRS whistleblowers have been promoted. It is so amazing. It's like the Revenge of the Nerds at the end, and the good guys win or whatever. These two guys, and they were still being harassed and persecuted, penalized for being whistleblowers. And so the Trump administration, only about a week or two or three ago, came out and they announced that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, I believe, was the one or somebody of that nature of the Trump administration came out and said, "Those two, I have given them a promotion. They are now in charge of investigating and going through all the stuff, the bad stuff with the IRS. They're in charge." That is justice. And that is the opposite of the Biden administration. So those are the two guys. There were a lot of overt investigative steps that were not allowed to take place because of an upcoming election, said one of the two whistleblowers, Joseph Ziegler. And it related to the president's son. So not even the candidate. So this was not allowed. You can't stop a story about the son of the candidate, is what his point is. That's not part of the policy. So then I thought about this. I want you to think about this too. If they literally went to town to bury and hide, not even bury, but to pretend it never happened, to hide a mass criminal investigation of the president's son, massive. We're talking FARA violations, Foreign Agents Registration Act. That's a serious felony. We're talking about tax evasion, all sorts of prostitution over state lines, conspiracy stuff, type stuff. And all that's thrown out to protect Joe Biden. So imagine what they have on Biden that we haven't heard about yet, or that we may never hear about. If they did that for Biden's son, what did they do for Biden? So this shows on the day the New York Post story came out, October 14th, 2020, they knew that laptop was authentic and it was real. And those 51 disgraced former intel agents all knew, and they were all lying. I mean, this is the scariest, most Orwellian thing one can think of. That and Fauci, who should be in jail right now. Hey, I did want to tell you something else. Let's see, is Cory Booker still talking? I don't know. We think he's still talking. The man, this is the funniest thing in the world. And, you know, producer Chris asked me a great question. What is he filibustering over? And they're trying to say, well, technically he's not filibustering. So I had to look it up because I'm like, I don't even know what the guy's doing. It's a clown show. He is, quote, showing a feat of endurance. Technically, they say he's not filibustering to show Democrats objections to President Donald Trump's agenda. Trump's agenda and everything he's doing is at the speed of light. So, I mean, this poor guy has got to have like 1,000 things that he doesn't like about him. So he's just sitting here, I guess, complaining about everything Trump's doing. Well, does he not realize that like 70 million people voted for Trump? So he's really complaining about what 70 million people want. And I guess he's telling us how bad we are for wanting these things that are good for America. Oh, Cory Booker's staffer arrested for carrying a gun on the Capitol grounds as he was in hour 19 of his filibuster, or non-filibuster, as some say. He was arrested for carrying a pistol without a license, all weapons prohibited from Capitol grounds, even if, as this guy is, this guy's a retired law enforcement officer, even if you are retired law enforcement, you cannot have that weapon. You can't do it even if you're a retired law enforcement or if you have a permit to carry in D.C. You cannot do it. And it's funny because here's a big question. Cory Booker might want to filibuster for another 5 days or so because guess what? Hoping everybody forgets about this, because guess what? The New York Post says it's unclear whether Booker escorted this guy, his former retired police officer, who he has been BFFs with for apparently like 20 or 30 years. I'll share that more of that in a minute. But it is unclear if Booker may have escorted his buddy around security. In other words, he may have known that his retired law enforcement officer friend was carrying a weapon illegally into the Capitol on Capitol grounds, and therefore, being a senator, had him whisked around the metal detectors because he would have been flagged. He would have been caught right there. So, quote, New York Post, it's unclear whether Booker escorted Batts around security. In a 2022 Facebook reel, the senator had referred to the staffer as one of his best friends, quote unquote. In fact, he's been a fixture of Booker's life for at least 11 years, per social media reports, says the New York Post. One showed Booker affectionately calling him the Batman. His last name is B-A-T-T. So I would not be surprised if Booker ends up getting in big trouble for sneaking his buddy in with his gun, knowing he had one and wasn't supposed to have one. So I get, maybe that's why he's filibustering, producer Chris. Maybe he is filibustering so that we forget that he may have helped this guy smuggle in a gun. I think he might want to pull off the greatest filibuster of all time so we forget about this. Otherwise, he could be in some big trouble. Oh, special elections going on in Florida. Good news. There's two seats that are up tonight. One is former Congressman Mike Waltz, who's now the head of national security, right? National security director. I think that's what his title is. But Waltz, Mike Waltz, is now, his seat just was won by the Republican by a lot. Not by the 30 points Trump won it by, but I think by 11 points or so last time I checked. So he won. So we held the Congress with at least one seat. The other seat is Matt Gaetz's old seat. That I had last time I checked a few minutes ago, they hadn't even counted anything. The polls just closed at 8 p.m. Central. So that was about 15 minutes ago. That's why that one hasn't come in yet. Also, Wisconsin, I've seen no movement at all on the Wisconsin Supreme Court election results. But let me tell you something. I lived in Wisconsin. I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Did radio shows there back in the day. And I got it. God help that state if this crazy leftist woman who is running against the Republican there, if she wins. Because I've heard some crazy stuff about her. So we'll see. We held one of the two seats that are up tonight for the House. We held Mike Waltz's. Now it's Matt Gaetz's we're going to find out about. And then, of course, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will keep our eye on that. Can Trump actually serve as a third term in president? As president, could he serve a third term? I have the answer for you. And I think you're going to like it. All that's coming up next on the Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what? My dog, we have a cat and a dog. I never wanted the cat. I don't like cats. I have a problem if guys have cats. There's an issue there. My daughter, it's her. She's 18. It's her cat. I've come to kind of like it, but I wouldn't have it in the house. It's just her. So I love my daughter, so therefore the cat's okay. But the cat's there. I see the food for the cat. I see the dog for the food for our dog. And I wonder if I had the chance to feed my animals what Jesse's been telling you about for a long time about would be probably a huge game changer. If you've ever seen your dog slowing down or having health issues like I have and wonder, you ever feel guilty about what you're feeding them? Like, you know, the cheaper stuff? And you thought, what can I do to make them better? You know what it's like for you and me to eat healthy and eat wholesome foods. We really should be doing this for our pets. Well, the friends of Jesse at Rough Greens, they can handle this for you. Your dog's food, you can do it for 90 days with Rough Greens, and you're going to see changes that will amaze you, guaranteed. Invented by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Rough Greens wants to invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. I'll bet you it'll be something else. In the first 30 days, you're going to see shinier coats, increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding. That's good for the HVAC system. And for your furniture, and improve joint function, all due to the live nutrients you've added to their diet. You've done this. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you might even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your dog today. Go to roughgreens.com. Use that promo code Jesse. That's rough, R-U-F-F, greens.com, and use promo code Jesse. And just cover shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Chris Kroc filling in. Jesse is back tomorrow. Honored to fill in again for Jesse. You can follow me on social media. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about, retweeting, etc., on my Twitter feed or my Facebook. And then all sorts of stuff, podcasts and everything. Go to @ChrisKrockShow, @ChrisKrockShow, ChrisKrockOK, or Kroc Talk, KROKTALK. Okay, I've got so much to get into there's so much wild stuff in our remaining 40 minutes or 37 minutes, whatever. Okay, check it out. Can Trump serve a third term? Yes. Yes, he can. Because... and this is great. You can tell this university, this professor, I don't think he's at University of Minnesota. He's at Farley Dickinson University. But he was the lead author in a 1999 Minnesota Law Review article that was insanely researched, that concluded the text of the 12th Amendment was ambiguous enough to potentially leave the door open to a vice presidential run by a term limited president. And so here's what he says The lead author of the article, who you're going to hear a quote from yesterday, said it isn't obvious that Trump is limited to 8 years of service. The weight of historical evidence, the legal analysis, and the constitutional text add up to make this the most defensible reading. Yes, Trump can run as a vice president, perhaps with J.D. Vance, and once again be running this country as the vice president, perhaps. I wonder if Vance were to step down, then obviously Trump would take over, wouldn't he? And there's no rule saying you can't be vice president. And if you're vice president and then you and Vance resigns or something, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but... That isn't that incredible? So this guy clearly hates Trump, in my opinion, because look what he says. He says there is a possible loophole. They asked him, you know, the guy that wrote that, the lead author of that from 26 years ago. He says there is a possible loophole. I wish it weren't true, but there is. I'm sure he'd be excited if former President Hussein Obama wanted to run as vice president. He'd be like, oh, it's great. Yeah, look at it. I did the article here. But now he's like, I wish it weren't true. Like, don't blame me. So Trump is, you know, he said that people are looking at it. They're telling him he can do it. But he said to fake news NBC with Kristen Welker, who, ooh, she is definitely a Trump hater, in a phone interview with her, he told her, he said, yeah, they tell me I can, but right now I'm focusing on the beginning of my second administration. Pretty wild, huh? I want to get into that. We have some really good and fun stuff. But before we do, a little bit more on, I told you about Iran a little earlier. Trump is, he said, work with me to the Ayatollah. If you don't, basically, we're going to attack you. And it's, I believe from everything I've read, it's going to be a joint strike with Israel and us. In our B-2, we have a quarter of our B-2 bombers are at Diego Garcia base, a joint base with the Brits in the Indian Ocean. And we are going to attack. And I think that Trump is, because they're, I mean, we've been told for months and months that they're a week away from having enough nuclear fissile material to make a warhead, and that they have enough to make, I think, up to 6 warheads, I think, last time I heard. But the other thing is it would take them up to 6 months or so to build a ballistic missile that could actually, or an ICBM that could actually carry that warhead, at least a ballistic one that could carry the warhead. But they're just so close, and they've done nothing but get more and more close to having and have more and more enriched uranium. And the time has come. And they also said, they said, we're not going to meet with you. And then they threatened us. If you do anything to us, we're going to attack you. Our missiles and our drones, we're going to hit your Diego Garcia base there in the Indian Ocean. But the problem is the range for the drones probably won't even make it. It's just too close is what our folks think. But the missiles will be a threat. But I think we're going to have to do this, and I think it's going to happen within a year. And it'll be interesting if they let, because I've always known this, and I've said this out loud, that we know the Israelis are going to be the ones to do it, and we're going to play a little coy, but we'll be working with them on it unequivocally. We'll be approving it and supporting it. And it'll be interesting to see if Trump allows an Israeli pilot to learn how to fly one of our B-2s, if they already don't, to be able to do the operation. That would be wild. China, meantime, is now warning Taiwan independence means war as they launch drills all around the island. If we go to war with China, if they invade Taiwan before the agreed time, the war will be intense. We will lose more people. This is according to the Institute for the Study of War and the Wall Street Journal in an editorial I read a year or two ago. I'm going to tell you what will happen if we go to war with them, how many people will die, and how many of our major aircraft carriers or our ships will lose. China's also bucking back, trying to say we're not going to sell the Panama Canal ports. We'll get into all that, and then we're going to have a lot of fun in the final half hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. It's Chris Crockin for Jesse Kelly.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love some good Led Zeppelin, of course. Okay, you know, it was interesting. Oh, by the way, the races in Wisconsin and in Florida, the Wisconsin one, we got nothing. 0.0. We got DeBluto Blutarski's grade point average so far in on the Wisconsin race.
0.0.
Nothing yet. Okay? But we do have both congressional races that were hyped up insanely. They always do this. And like, oh my gosh, Trump won the district, District 6, by 30 points, but oh my gosh, the Republican is only up by 9 points. And Executive Producer Chris making a great point that, well, that's because Trump's not on the ballot this time. You always have much worse turnout in off-ballot, whatever, non-presidential elections, whatever. So in this case, just a tremendous, solid victory. It is nowhere near anything close. In fact, both the first congressional district and the sixth congressional district in Florida both went Republican almost exactly by the same numbers. Not the amount of votes, but the percentage of votes. It's wild. It is the exact same amount of Democrats. 42.8% voted for each Democrat, and it's literally only off by 1/10 of a point on the Republican results for both ones. So literally, it's 14 points victory in both the 6th district and the 1st congressional district of Florida. We won both seats, as you expected. And they're like, well, Trump won by, well, 14 points, as the producer Chris smartly observed here, keenly observed, whatever, is 14 points is still a landslide, dude. So that's a massive landslide in an off election, you know, off year election, whatever. So we won both of those. I say we, but the Republicans won. And then the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the only one other that is matters tonight. Everybody's talking about, at least wondering about, and it's 0-0. So that's what we got, guys. So good news for Republicans tonight. Now, Chris and I were talking during the break about, why is it so important that China be stopped from invading Taiwan? And yeah, there's chips are very, very important. But, you know, it's not worth going to war and dying for. I said, well, listen, do you remember when we had COVID and there was a lack of chips? Yes. Well, do you remember you couldn't get any of those special, like normal options we're used to getting in our car, like heated seats? Are heated seats worth going to war for? Yes! Are having a... seriously, like the mirror, the side view mirror, being able to, you know, adjust it. Is that worth going to war over? Yes! Just kidding. My understanding is that with the chips, if we lose Taiwan, we have nowhere near what we need for production of chips. In our weapons systems, we will not be able to build any weapons or anything to protect ourselves. We will not be able to build computers, cell phones. There are so many things that we don't know about. And, you know, Chris and I were talking. He still says, well, a little inconvenience, and we have factories and this and that. It can't be that, you know, like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But really, I'm not an expert on it, but I bet you we can get somebody on to fully explain why. It's like, no, we need this, and here's why. I think there are so many things that we could talk about that would be affected by it that would be no-go for us. So that's my humble opinion, but... here's another thing. And by the way, if we go to war with China over Taiwan, because we will do that, I've not seen anything other than we will do that if they invade before their time, they're supposed to take over Taiwan. And I think we are so behind on getting chips made here in America. And even though we're trying our best, Biden's deal to make those chips was a joke. He had to have like union scale wages for healthcare, for child care. Yeah, they have super woke union stuff in there and everything. It was all a disgrace and a big giveaway to their leftist friends. But And I think the Trump administration can get in there and cut through all this crap and just build the factories. Also, some of the makers from Taiwan are here and recording them or having come into Texas or other places, Arizona and stuff, to build chip factories. But it's going to take several years. My understanding, I could be off, but I think it's like 5 years or something before we can see next a new factory. And so our pants are down. We need to get our pants back up and we need to get ready. But if we go to war, because if they invade Taiwan, we will. If we go to war with them, we will lose. Here's the, according to the Institute for the Study of War and the Wall Street Journal, an editorial I read, we're going to lose the same amount of people we lost in Vietnam in 1 week. We will lose all of our long-range missiles, at least the ones that we can use for aircraft carriers and such, or our warships. And we'll lose, I think, an aircraft carrier. So, I mean, can you imagine 1 week losing what we lost in Vietnam? Can you imagine losing aircraft carrier, losing and not having, running out of long-range missiles for at least our crews, our ships? Some scary stuff. But we would win. We would win. And one of the great, I know Jesse loves talking about battles and all this stuff, which is great. I certainly don't have nearly as much wisdom as he does in all this, but I will tell you that I also saw that one of the best weapons we have that China cannot stop is, I think it's our F-15s. And the way they come in with their abilities on radar and the kind of missiles we can fire off of those F-15s, we will be able to take out a lot of their stationary positions where they're able to fire at us, you know, from their land. And so we're gonna be deadly effective with our F-15s against their stationary, their missile batteries, or whatever they are. We'll be taking them out much, much easier and such. But the Chinese Navy is insanely better and beyond than ours. They have more ships than ours. Again, we've been caught with our pants down. It's a disgrace. It's a joke. And I'm glad Trump's in there to cut through all this crap and make it happen, make us the strongest, biggest, baddest military, or at least Navy and military, of course, than we've been. That's the way to do it, peace through strength. China, by the way, also delaying a $23 billion sale of the Panama Canal ports, two of them, to the U.S.-backed consortium led by BlackRock. So we're going to make this happen. We're going to force it. This is so dangerously close to us. People can mock Trump on the Panama Canal. They can mock Trump on Greenland. Nobody's mocking him anymore. They're either peeved off at him or they love it. And I think hearing J.D. Vance explain why Greenland is a must for us makes perfect sense. I think they see and know a lot more than we see and know about. And I trust him and Trump on this. But he did talk publicly that the Russian and Chinese warships are so dangerously close, and you know how they work, like in the Philippines, in the South China Sea, in the Philippines, they go in there and they harass fishermen, they shoot water cannons at them, they bump the boats, they'll even sink the boats, and they want dominance of areas that are clearly Philippine, seas that belong to the Philippines. You know, it's like, what is it, 100 miles off the shore or something? I don't know. But they're trying to take over large swaths of the sea and places that are not theirs. That's how they work. They lie, they cheat, and they steal. They steal our technology. They steal our secrets. They cheat and lie and steal, whether it be for patents, whether it be for land or areas like I'm talking about with the Philippines. And they're taking over, they're trying to take over that port, Panama Canal, I should say, those two ports. And they must be stopped. They must be stopped. And they must be removed at all costs. And also, the same thing with Greenland, as far as how close they are and how much they're involved in there. They're going to claim that part of the sea. Russia and China will. They're besties now, thanks to Joe Biden. So I agree that we got to get there. And I love how Vance couched it. He said, you need protection. And the Dutch are not. And I don't even have to check that out. I'm sure the Dutch aren't protecting Greenland or other places like we protect our stuff. So we need to do that. I agree. I think that's great. And boy, it's interesting watching their heads blow up, but it is what it is. You know, have you ever had speed dating? Ever done that? My wife and daughter watch these shows that I cannot stand. I rip on them. They get mad at me because I can't stop ripping on them. There are things that make fun of somebody up there. I'm like, you know, or attack somebody up there. Like, this is so stupid. I can't stand these Kardashian type shows. Oh, there was a speed dating show on that they watched the other day, and some of these people are so vapid, and you're speed dating for like a millionaire or something like that. Well, you know what speed dating is, right? But what about doing something like that, but that it actually works and is good for hiring? In other words, you could meet several interested, qualified candidates at once, all at a designated time. Good news, you can do that. Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. You can post your job today, start talking to qualified candidates tomorrow, and right now you can try Zip Intro for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Zip Intro gives you the power to quickly assess excellent candidates for your job via back-to-back video calls. You can simply pick a time, and Zip Intro does all the work finding scheduled qualifying candidates for you and scheduling them, I should say. Enjoy the benefits of speed hiring with new Zip Intro, only from ZipRecruiter, rated number one hiring site based on G2. Try Zip Intro for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow.
What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Oh, yeah. I'm jamming. Okay. We have to get to this. This is too important. On the Jesse Kelly Show, Chris Kroc filling in. Of course, I'm sure you've had your dinner by now, so I can share this with you. If not, bear with me. Delta plane passenger details disgusting encounter with fellow traveler. Daily Mail. This woman posted a 10-minute video explaining what happened, the shocking moment another passenger did this to her. Flying home to New York City, her and her daughter, plane taxied for takeoff. All of a sudden, a man walks down the aisle, seemingly trying to go to the bathroom. The flight attendant says, "Oh, sir, turn around. Go back to your seat." He stands there, has this kind of funny look on his face. Oh, yeah. Flight attendant again says, "You need to sit down. Go to your seat, sir." Instead, he looked around. Oh, boy. Here we go. Looked around, looked to the ground, looked to the side and points, and starts to cover his mouth. Before he could finish, before she, the attendant, could say, start saying, "Go back." Oh my gosh, he's going to puke. The man projectile vomited all over this woman who did the 10-minute video about her experience. Projectile vomited all over her and the plane. It squirts out of the sides because he covers his mouth to catch it. And it goes out on both sides. It showered. What's that again, producer? Yeah, he tried. Can I tell you what I did? You're going to hear something. Here we go. You want to get ready for this. Okay, I fly commercial all the time. I've never gotten sick except for this one time when I went to New York a month ago. Nothing happened, but this plane, I've never had this happen in my life. They insist on the plane I was on 30 minutes after, from takeoff on, and 30 minutes before you land, they make you open up every window on the plane. Have you ever heard of this, producer Chris? Have you ever experienced this? I've never. So somebody said, "Well, that's a regulation." No, it's not. I've been flying for God knows how many years. How many decades? Nobody's ever said you got to roll it, put the thing up, put it down. I've never seen this before. So there I am. And they're like, the captain's like, "We're going to warn you, there's a lot of turbulence heading in. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like going, like I'm an airplane in the movie or something, like it's a skit. And the sun is beaming and I'm on fire from heat from the sun. And I'm going, so I literally was this close to feeling like I was going to hork. All I had left was a couple of sips of water and some gum. And oh my gosh, I was close. Never happened before. No barf bags anywhere. I was on a plane. Here's the thing though. I'm fine on commercial planes, but I had the chance to go up in a Mustang P, something or other Mustang, the one they used to train the fighter pilots in World War II, when I was doing a show in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I went to the airfield. I had very little to eat. I had almost nothing. I had a protein bar. That was it. And I get onto the plane, just to make sure I wouldn't get sick. I get on that plane. We go up. I'm like, this is awesome. And then he goes, "Okay, we're going to do 1G. 1G is nothing. He slightly moves a little bit, he tilts slightly. 1G, and I start feeling sick. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And I had to throw up. I said, "Is there a barf bag in here?" This poor guy. He goes, no, the lady from the Fox affiliate just used it. What do you do when you're about to throw up in a small plane like that and you're a media dude? Yeah, I try to hold it in, but you really can't when you hit your head, right? So what do you do? You know what I did? This is how, I'm going to tell you, this is a testament to how I care about other people. Because you can't make this up. I decide, I got to barf, I'm going to barf no matter what. So I lift my shirt, you know, like below the neck or below the head. I lift my shirt up in front of me and I barf down on my own shirt so I don't get in the guy's plane. What are you going to do? I mean, I was dedicated. I didn't want to barf on the guy's plane. So I took one for the team. Obviously, when I got off, I dealt with it. And then I had to go to work straight from there. I couldn't go home. I was like, I was so sick for hours. So, and then I had a chance afterwards in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I went to Atlanta at a station there, a big station there. And I had the chance to go with the Blue Angels. They called me like, do you want to go with the Blue Angels? And by the way, the guy with the guy in the Mustang that took me up where I vomited, I said, can you please, how quick can you get me down? What do you think his answer is? He can't just turn it off and park the car. He parked the plane, right? So I was sitting in this thing, yeah, like 10 minutes of hell. It was the longest 10 minutes of my life. I'm like, you're like bouncing in a plane. Like, just get me out of here. Shoot me. take me out. And then so I decided to not get in trouble. I didn't want to peeve off the Blues. But I said, what if I get sick up there? Can they bring me down? No. No, you're going to be up there for 22 minutes. So I passed. I didn't want to. A lot of people listening are like, what? Anyways, this guy vomited. It flew out all over the place. She says it squirts out the sides because he covers his mouth. It showers down the right side of my body. It was more than just liquid in the vomit. It covered her arm, the side of her body, her coat, the armrest, and the seat. My pants started getting wet because it was seeping under my butt, she said. It was like a waterfall of puke, she said. The flight attendants put on gloves and masks, but were nowhere to be found. They came over and handed her two small towelettes and five cocktail napkins. She was wiping her arm off with her bare hands, trying not to vomit herself. The flight attendants moved her and her daughter to another area, but she was not offered further assistance, sat in her soaking wet clothes the entire three-hour flight. Can you freaking imagine this? They offered her a $120 credit for her inconvenience. What? That wasn't even paid for the clothes or cleaning job. She said, who in their right mind would agree to let someone puke on them, then scoop it up with their hands and a towelette, and then sit wet and puke for 3 hours on a flight for $120 credit? It reminds me, remember the Jerky Boys? You ever hear the Jerky Boys? They did those recorded phone call pranks. And they have a guy that's like, my daughter, she's sick. She ate your pizza. And he goes, well, I'll give you a coupon. My daughter's going to die, and you give me a coupon? Kind of reminded me of that. The NAACP, head of the NAACP chapter in Suffolk County, New York, is suing the local school district because they changed their name so they wouldn't offend people from the Indians to the Spartans. Now he's suing them because the Spartans were, quote, a group of white peoples who enslaved others and did not allow women to serve in the military, a symbol of white supremacy. My gosh, people, make up your mind! Jesse Kelly, back tomorrow. Chris Kroc filling in. See you next time.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.